Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have Bible questions or issues you're dealing with and you'd like some input on that, we'd talk it through with you right now at 844-322-2742. Come on in. You can join us live in the studio if you're hearing the live broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time. Overnight, of course, you can call that same number, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail for us. We'd love to hear from you, and if you have something you're dealing with, a Bible question, just get it to us at 844-322-2742, and we will talk about it on Basic Gospel. So welcome, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, welcome as well. Good to have you with us as always.
Yes, indeed.
All month long, we've been making the resurrection of Jesus Christ relevant to our day-to-day lives, and certainly the Word of God is very clear that that historical event impacts us where we are in this 21st century. So it's exciting when you realize that this isn't just a set of facts to believe something about history, that this is about our here and now and also about our future. But one of the great passages in the New Testament that really puts the relevance of the resurrection to here and now is in 2 Peter. He says this in chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power, that's resurrection power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So that is a 180-degree turn for us because of the power of the resurrection. We've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. We didn't have that before we encountered the power of the resurrection. And not only that, we can participate in the divine nature. Talk about practical. This is practical application, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Bob. You say, well, I need more of the Spirit. And God says, no, I've given you everything you need. I need more spiritual gifts. No, you've got everything you need for life and godliness. And that's what this passage is saying. And then you say, well, I just wish that I didn't have all these evil desires, that I wish I didn't want to sin so much. Well, actually, it says that God has caused you to escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires. So you've got new desires. You may get old thoughts, but you've got new desires. You may get old temptations, but you've got a new nature, a new heart, and God's Spirit living in you. So the resurrection is the very core of this message. It's great that Jesus died for our sins. That's indispensable, absolutely critical. Jesus took away our sins, and He remembers them no more. But we need more than that, and the resurrection provides us what we need. It's like God takes a syringe at the cross and takes out our old self, and then at the resurrection, He injects us or infuses us with new life. And so the cross and the resurrection are both needed for true salvation, and I think we can lose sight of that. We celebrate the resurrection once a year on Easter Sunday, and everybody says yay and rah and amen and all of that, but then we spend the rest of our year with crosses hanging around our necks and crosses hanging on the wall. And yeah, we need to be celebrating the crucifixion, but it is finished. Let's move on to also celebrate the resurrection, because that's how we got this incredible new life in Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Now, certainly we couldn't have that apart from the cross, but if Jesus had only died and did not come out of that grave, we're still lost and dead in our sins. Our faith is futile, empty, hollow, nothing to it, has no substance. But with the resurrection, we get to experience all that Peter said, the participate in the divine nature, have everything that we need for life and godliness. That's why this is a single event, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. That is the good news, and it really is good. And the more you dive into it, the more you explore it, the more you see all the nuances of it and exactly what Jesus accomplished through those events, it just overwhelms you with the goodness of it and the impact that it has on you right here, right now. And I think that's sometimes also, Andrew, a missing link, isn't it? We think Christ did something for us back then. We believe it now, and that grants us entry into heaven at a future date. Well, in between, you know, getting that golden key, so to speak, we have to try to figure it out on our own. We do the best we can. But that's not the power of the resurrection, is it?
Right. Yeah, we've got Christ in us. He told us it would be this way, the vine and branches relationship, you and me and I and you. That's what we've got. We're called children of the resurrection. The Apostle John says we're born of God, that we're born of the Spirit. This fusion, this bonding that we have with Jesus Christ is very real and very now. Well, that's what we need to take hold of, the reality that we don't have to beg and plead and hope and wait for closeness. We talk about God. We beg that he comes down into this place on Sunday morning, come be with us and fall fresh on us and give me a fresh anointing. All of that verbiage shows that we don't really understand that he's in us and we're in him and there's a oneness with Christ and a completeness in Christ. So he doesn't need to fall fresh if he's sealed inside of us. He doesn't need to come visit us or come be with us if we're one with him. So it's high time the church realize our birthright. We've got it better than we could possibly imagine. We're one with the resurrected Jesus right here, right now.
Great insights, guys. Dr. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. And friends, thank you for joining us. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742, that number good in the U.S. and Canada. If you have a question, a Bible question, perhaps some life issue you're dealing with, well, we're here and we'd love to talk it through with you right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Guys, let's get right into it. A question from one of our listeners says, is it wrong to pray every night that the Lord would take me home to be with him? I mean, what greater thing is there than to be face-to-face with the Lord Jesus? I feel tormented by the flesh I'm in and want the Lord to call me home. What are your thoughts on wanting to be absent from the body and present with the Lord?
Yeah, well, that's a tough one, guys. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5 definitely says that Paul would rather be absent from the body. It's not just some alone statement that stands there. It actually is a willingness, a desire, a preference of Paul's. He doesn't just say absent from the body. He says, I'd rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So my heart goes out to you, my friend. I hear what you're saying. When your body is in pain, when you're experiencing constant turmoil, you just want to scream out at this fallen world. You want to scream at Adam and Eve. You want to say, you know, I wish it were some other way. And come, Lord, quickly. Maranatha, please, Lord, take me. I get that. And so, you know, guys, I think our hearts go out to this person because of the pain that they're experiencing. At the same time, you know, we don't control the day of our death. We have to live in the moment. We have to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing and that he's got us. And we have to constantly say, well, you know, this challenging circumstance, this nearly impossible pain that I'm going through is another reason to depend on Jesus and to really trust him in the midst of this. And, you know, he says he's going to be our comforter and our counselor and our guide into truth, and we got to trust that that's real, that he means what he says. But at the end of the day, who doesn't want to be with Jesus? I mean, I would rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If I had the choice in this moment, yeah, I would choose that. Anybody in their right mind. So, you know, our hearts go out to you, and certainly we understand what you mean there, and you're in good company, as the Apostle Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:8. So You know, Bob, I would say that we all face our challenges, some of them physical, emotional, some of them relational. We face grief and loss and death. We face all kinds of things, and they can be extremely painful. And that's exactly why the resurrected Christ lives in us. We need him for times like this.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Paul even talks about this in the book of Philippians. You know, he says basically the same thing. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But Paul had gained a philosophy, had gained a perspective, and he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We don't have to wait until death, until we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, to enjoy the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ Jesus, that we can enjoy his love, his goodness, his mercy right here and now. And God can actually use that in us to benefit others. So it comes down to that point where, you know, if God is leaving me here, if I have breath and I have days to live here on planet Earth, then God has a purpose in that. God has come to live in me to manifest his life through me. And we can rejoice in that, even in the difficult times. And certainly when Paul wrote this in Philippians, he was in jail. And so he wasn't experiencing the best of times. But he had that godly perspective, that godly attitude. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So he looked at it from both sides, and he said, either way, if I'm here or if I'm with the Lord, it's a win-win both ways.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And, you know, friends, as Christians, we kind of bask in the afterglow of the resurrection. And what a great time it is to say thank you for what Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you can say thanks by making a generous gift to keep his message going forward online and on the air. You know, Andrew, it's one thing to come out and say that there was a resurrection, but where is the proof? How can people who are sincere and have open minds and hearts really get the proof they need to resolve any doubt that they might have?
Well, let's start with that empty grave. I mean, even the opponents of Christianity said, well, I guess the disciples stole the body. So they were admitting right then and there that the grave was empty. I think you start with that empty grave, Bob, and then you say, well, who did Jesus appear to? Yeah. And that number, it totals around 11 and 12 if you count the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. So we've got an empty grave. We've got 11 or 12 eyewitnesses at a minimum. Then we've got these biographies. I mean, four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by eyewitnesses, not to mention we've got an ancient creed. I mean, remember that we have, months after the death of Jesus, we have this creed that talks about what is of utmost or foremost importance, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The resurrection was included in this. So this is not some fable that got developed in months and years and decades later. I mean, this was what every Christian believed in the early church immediately after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So, you know, those Christians, they were murdered. They were killed, yeah, in some cases for their beliefs, and that's certainly not, you don't go get yourself murdered over symbolism or over a metaphor. The resurrection is to be taken literally. And, you know, lastly, guys, I would just say, my goodness, look where this all got started, this movement known as Christianity. It got started in Israel, right in their backyard, where Christ was resurrected. That's the nation. Jerusalem is where this new church was birthed. And if this were a hoax, if this were a fabrication, if this were just a fable, there's no way that Christianity would have exploded in the midst of Judaism the way that it did. So I think we've got a ton of evidence for the resurrection, and I'm excited that we're giving out this resource, I think, you know, as a thank you gift, because it's incredible that we can celebrate the resurrection and know why we believe what we believe. So when you give your gift to Basic Gospel, this is a great opportunity to really nail down why you believe Jesus rose from the dead and what that resurrection means for you personally.
Absolutely. And Andrew, as you were saying, we have this wonderful gift, a CD by Bob Christopher called Proof the Resurrection. And we're going to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift in this month of April. So visit basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. That's basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the number, 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to talk about, well, that's why we're here. We like to talk. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jennifer is watching us on our YouTube stream, and she has this question, and it comes from the book of James, I think chapter 3, in what ways are teachers judged more strictly? It's a good question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, I think we've misinterpreted this. Don't become teachers because you'll incur a stricter judgment. And immediately we assume that that means God's going to swoop down out of heaven and judge all the teachers with some other criteria. Well, remember the final judgment. I mean, that final judgment is for humans, whether they're teachers or not. The humans show up at the great white throne and they are separated. You know, Matthew 25 talks about us being separated into sheep and goats. There's not teacher sheep and regular sheep. There's just sheep and goats. And so when you look at this passage in James 3, what he's really saying is exactly what we see today. Somebody becomes a teacher. They end up on Christian television. Then they have some big what you call a moral failure. They stumble in many ways. Next thing you know, everybody's got a spotlight on them, and they're saying, what happened to so-and-so? And they start judging that person and saying, well, I never liked him. I never liked them. Well, that's incurring a stricter judgment from other people when you choose to be a teacher. That's just the way planet Earth works. So when somebody misinterprets this passage, we got to come back and say, wait a minute. I'm saved from the wrath of God. There's no condemnation for me if I'm in Christ, and I can have confidence in the day of judgment because I'm as safe as Jesus is. As he is, so also are we. So when you look at the final judgment, it is clearly a black and white criteria. There's sheep and there's goats. There's Revelation 20 where people are punished, and then Revelation 21 where the church shows up. It is clear as day that if you are in Christ, your sins are taken away. You're not punished for your sins. You're not judged for your sins. So what we see here in James 3, Bob, is simply the normal, natural occurrence in this world. When somebody takes a position of authority or teaching, they can expect more criticism from others and more judgment.
Yeah, so let me take it just one step further with a question. What about all of those passages, for example, Matthew 7, where he talks about false prophets, 2 Peter chapter 2, when he talks about false prophets, and some of the consequences of being a false prophet, a false messenger, delivering a different gospel, as Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 1.
Yeah, so if you're an unbeliever and if you're teaching a different gospel, which is no gospel at all, then you get counted as the goats, not the sheep. So, you know, we come back to this criteria of are you in Adam or in Christ, and only God can see that. God has the heart exam for humanity. He can see who's in Christ and who's in Adam. But when you look at Matthew 7, when you look at 2 Corinthians 2, I mean, really what we're seeing there is a warning not to teach in error. And there are a lot of people peddling a false gospel that does not have the finished work of Christ as the centerpiece. And so in Matthew, he says, watch out for these people. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. And he talks about good trees versus bad trees. So clearly now we've got trees involved. It was sheep and goats. Now it's trees. But there is no third tree. You're either a good tree or a bad tree. And if a person is a false teacher, I mean, we even see this in the book of Revelation, the final words of the Bible itself. that if you add to God's message, if you take away from God's message, if you're a false teacher taking on that sort of false authority, well, you can expect plagues. So whether it's plagues or punishment or separation, I mean, this sort of punishment is described in a dozen different ways. What's the takeaway? Well, how about fixing your eyes on Jesus? Make sure your confidence is in Him and proclaim and celebrate the truth. Then you've got nothing to worry about.
Absolutely. Good insight, Andrew. Thank you.
Absolutely. Andrew, you have recently rebranded your ministry as the Grace Message, and I think it's a wonderful brand. And this question, you don't fit into the question, but the question is about grace. It says, what is your take on grace teachers gravitating toward false doctrines, such as Trinitarianism and Universalism?
Yeah. Well, yeah, those words are just fancy terminology for the idea that I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay, apart from any decision. Who needs evangelism? Who needs the gospel? Sure, maybe there's some side benefits, but, you know, the whole world is saved, or the whole world will be saved. Well, you know, a quick read of the New Testament, and we find out that is absolute nonsense. I mean, you know, the scripture says you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. It says that you're saved by grace through faith. Even James 2 talks about how active this faith is. It's a decision. It results in opening the door like Rahab. So what if you don't open the door? He's standing at the door and knocking and you don't open it? Well, then you don't have life, because in Him is life and there is no life outside of Him. You know, it's amazing that these folks, these guys who were pushing universalism and all that business, they call themselves grace teachers. Many of them say, you know, 1 John 1:9 is written to the unbeliever because it says, if you confess, He'll forgive you. And that was their pet doctrine for some 5, 15, 25 years. They would say, make sure you know that 1 John 1:9 is written to unbelievers to address their doubt and their unbelief. Well, of course it is. They're right about that. But when you go into universalism, then you're saying that 1 John 1:9 is written to nobody. You're saying that you don't have to admit your sinfulness. You don't have to get cleansing of all unrighteousness. You just show up on this planet. Everything's hunky-dory. No need for a decision. No need for Jesus. And that is error. It is inconsistent to say that 1 John 1:9 is addressing an unbeliever, and then 5 minutes later say there's no criteria to meet and the whole world is forgiven. Those don't fit together. No, there is an evangelistic appeal throughout the New Testament. John does it. The author of Hebrews does it. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. We're called to respond to this message, guys, and it's urgent that we do so, because without Jesus, we don't have life.
No, we don't. And James will end on this note from John, actually. It's very clear, the testimony of God concerning Jesus Christ. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. It's that clear. It's that simple. So universalism just doesn't apply in that case. You have to be in Christ, and you're in Christ because God has saved you by grace through faith. That's the good news of the gospel, and that offer of life is available to anyone. And all they have to do is open up their arms, their hearts, and receive the free gift of God's eternal life found only in Jesus Christ.
Great questions on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Great answers by Andrew Farley and Bob Christopher. And friends, I'm glad that you were with us to hear those answers and those questions, of course. And thanks for joining us, everybody. Please remember that we have this great resource we'd like to send to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support to Basic Gospel in this resurrection month of the month of April. It's called Proof the Resurrection, and we're going to send you a copy, as I said, to say thank you for your April gift in support of Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. We'd love to get it into your hands. Again, Click donate at basicgospel.net. Remember also, if you have a question popping into your mind, your heart, or your spirit overnight, we would love to hear from you on tomorrow's broadcast, and you can make that happen by leaving a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks, as always, to our great friend Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.